Hey, everybody. Tony Bruschi from The Dark Side. Hope you're enjoying our programs. And if you like what you're hearing, be sure to check out one of our other shows, Real Ghost Stories Online. You can download it wherever you download podcasts. Each week, we put out a bonus episode jam-packed with some of the best ghost stories we get in. Here's a 15-minute preview of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If there's one thing I've learned from doing this show over the years, it's that there's quite often no rhyme or reason as to when one will have a paranormal experience. You'd like to think it's predictable, but in reality, it's not. Sure, you could set yourself up, go to a super haunted location with all the equipment, and maybe your odds will increase. But more times than not, the experiences that we hear about on the show come from out of nowhere. They start on seemingly innocent days with innocent activities. Take, for example, a child playing in the autumn leaves, enjoying a crisp fall day, not a worry in the world. Suddenly, something very dark makes an appearance, a creature that cannot be explained. Or a couple having a romantic conversation. A couple with a long-distance relationship having that conversation through an internet service like Skype or Zoom. The conversation gets to the spooky. And soon after, one's traumatic experiences with the dark seem to transfer to the other digitally and don't go away. Or just spending a peaceful evening in your room, reading, relaxing, when some shadows randomly appear. What is this? This shouldn't be happening. This is nothing I am asking for, and then it does not go away. Even when their eyes are shut, the shadows still invade their memory. Those are some of the stories that we're going to be talking about on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It's EPP bonus episode number 368. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. The idea of something haunting us and kind of invading our physical space around us, our room, if you will, that can be scary enough. Number one, when you're by yourself and you expect to be by yourself, the last thing you want is something, more or less someone, coming in and walking into that space. We've all been there. We've all had those times where just, you know, maybe reading a book or scrolling around on your phone, just enjoying some you time, the quiet peacefulness of a bedroom. Suddenly a sibling, a loved one, somebody comes knocking on the door, hey, or just walks right in and just starts talking. And that in itself can be annoying and disturbing. But what about when something comes in and invades that you can't identify? It's not a living person. It's not a loved one. It's not anything that you can make sense of. Shadows. Not only just one, but multiple shadows. You want it to leave. You want it to go away. You want your space back. And you also want to make sense of what the heck is going on. It takes it to a whole new level of fear when you shut your eyes trying to escape that moment that you don't quite have a grasp on what is going on, only to find out that they invade that space too, your mental space. That's what happens in our next story. Take a listen. The story you're about to hear is real. I finally decided to go public with my experiences after nearly three decades with just a few close family members and friends knowing. I have some great stories to share for those willing to listen. I'm open to speaking on podcasts and other platforms. This was only my first occurrence with shadow people growing up. I've had many more, mostly in my pre-teens to teens. Most of my paranormal experiences occurred within a range of 15 or so years, give or take. My earliest experience began when I was 3 years old or so, and my last profound experience tapered off around 19 years old. This story begins with my first paranormal experience of shadow people. My parents met in the late 80s, and they were both serving members of the military. Shortly after they met, both my parents were assigned to an Air Force base in Ontario. I was born there. My brother followed shortly afterwards. Roughly a year after my brother was born, we were transferred to the province of Quebec. We were in a highly metropolitan region of Quebec, where my father had been posted to an army base. My parents decided to buy a house in a neighboring town. It wasn't a luxury home, but I enjoyed my time there as a kid. We had a large backyard, which I spent a lot of time in. The history of the house is unknown to my family. From the looks of it, the house didn't appear haunted. It wasn't bent out of shape. It was a 1970s, 80s cookie-cutter house in an ordinary middle-class neighborhood. I suppose this might be one of the many visions of what a basic family home would look like in North America. In this house, at 3 years old, everything started. We were what I thought was an average family, but happy and in good health. Nobody had any serious issues. The family dynamic was awesome. My dad was incredibly creative and fun. For the most part, we were good children. We did well in our early school years. We weren't too spoiled, especially because we couldn't afford to be. But my mother did everything she could to pamper me and my brother. She wanted a good life for us. She would save her money to ensure we always had new clothes and shoes for school. She also always taught us good manners, to treat all people with respect, and to not judge others. Despite their eventual separation, they remained to be amazing parents. They always did their best to offer us a good life. When we moved to this town, my mother sacrificed her service to follow my father's. I believe it was a fluke that they were previously posted to the same base, because in the 1980s, career managers were not as accommodating to service couples as they are now in Canada. She decided to use this opportunity to raise her children and look after the home until we were old enough to look after ourselves. Once you entered the front door of the house, there was a small square area for removing your boots and hanging your keys. There were two sets of stairs directly in front of you, one to the ground floor and one to the basement. Below and directly to the left, there was a bathroom. And inside the bathroom on the left side, there was a small storage space. The space was large enough to kneel and walk into, so my dad used the space to develop the film, since it was a dark and secluded room. While the restroom was on the left, my room was on the right, which was beside my parents' room. I had a small window in my bedroom on the left side that had a partial view of our large, fenced-in backyard. I couldn't see anything, though, since the window was located high enough on the wall and I was almost at the basement level, plus I was just a little guy. I vividly recall many details. My parents purchased my first bed for me when we moved into that house. It was lifted onto a metal frame, painted bright red like a maraschino cherry. There was also a railing that my parents later took off when I became older. It was between the ages of 3 and 4 years old, but well before kindergarten, before I experienced something so impactful that it would forever be burned into my head until this day. Most nights, we probably went to bed between 7 and 8 p.m. We were familiar with the routine, and we followed it. We had a very military style of discipline in our home. Not only were my parents in the military, but so were the previous generations in my family, and that culture carried on. We weren't perfect kids, but I like to think we were well-behaved kids. One night, which looks identical to all other nights as a child, except for Christmas, I awoke in my cherry red bed. It was late because it was dark outside from my window, but not so late that my parents were asleep because I could hear them talking upstairs with the TV on. I struggled to fall asleep, so I lay down on my bed looking around the room like any curious child. I was getting uncomfortable, so I turned over to my left side, which would have been facing the door to my bedroom. It was dark enough in the room, but I was in my room long enough for my eyes to be well adapted to the darkness at this stage. The only light I had from my room was the gentle backside of a faint porch light, and any ambient light from the moon, if any. I looked around the room, and then I began to draw my attention to my bedroom door. It had passively piqued my interest because I noticed that the area located directly in front of my closed bedroom door was unusually dark. I remember being able to look at the surrounding walls, but not that specific area for some reason. I kept watching the black mass. I looked away a few times, still looking around the room. I looked back at the door and in confusion saw an opaque black figure and the outline of a person standing right there. It's probably about 8 feet away or so, give or take. I wasn't initially scared, and instead, I think I kind of giggled, thinking it looked like a person. That same object in my room was obviously creating a very telling shadow of a humanoid. I kept looking into the shadows, but I started to realize that something seemed strange. The shadow itself was not on the wall. It was off the wall, in the room, standing like a person, an opaque, black in color. No light seemed to come through. It was not transparent. It was not translucent. It was a deep black hole. Black. I was still confused. I didn't put too much thought into it, so I just kept gazing. In one moment, I was relaxed and intrigued as to what was causing this image in front of me. But in the next, I was struck with paralyzing fear as I started to see the figure move towards me. It wasn't walking like a human or something I even recognized on the planet at that moment in my life. There were almost no features. There was no face. But I could clearly discern the shape of a body, arms, legs, and so on. He resembled a man. When the shadow approached me, it didn't do so by walking. There was no fluid human-like limbs moving around in a human-like or even earth-like fashion. The shadow would vanish, then reappear a step or two closer in a moment, as fast as a shutter can trigger on a camera. I didn't stop looking. Could not shout. I trembled. I cried. I had my blanket set against my eyes, but I kept watching. As if it were a film, I continued to move itself towards me, disappearing, reappearing, disappearing, and reappearing again. That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of this story and the experiences that happen, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. We'll also talk about a young man who seems to be bringing something very dark into a young woman's world through Skype, of all things, and a young girl's magical afternoon playing in the crisp autumn leaves takes a turn to terror as an unidentifiable beast shows up. All of that and more when you become an extra podcast person. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to the rest of this episode and all 368 bonus episodes in their entirety. You get our archive of episodes, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, all of it commercial free, as well as advanced episodes of the show ad free as well. Check it out and help keep our program on the air. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.